in the church, you have to set the tone and shape the culture of your organization by modeling, by example, the values and principles that you believe in. This morning we heard from the Philippians, of the Paul's letter to the Philippians, let this attitude be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That's a high calling. It is one thing for the Apostle Paul to say in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And yet Paul wasn't perfect. Paul did not perfectly follow Christ, although he was a faithful and conscientious Christian believer. But in our epistle lesson, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our example, the perfect servant of the Lord, and we're told to imitate his attitude and his servant leadership. The Lord Jesus Christ loved God and served faithfully and only did the will of his heavenly Father. So this morning I want us to consider what it means to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. First of all, living under the lordship of Christ means following his example of service. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Service flows out of humility. Actions come from an attitude, a frame of mind. Have this attitude, which was in Christ Jesus. We are to arm ourselves with the same mindset and attitude that Christ had. We are to imitate the Lord as he served us in self-giving love. In Philippians 2, 6 through 11, we have a summary of teaching concerning the example and the identity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 6 says that although Jesus Christ was fully God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He didn't grab onto it and demand divine privilege. Just the opposite. Although he was fully God, he served us in very humble circumstances. While on the cross, he could have called down 12 legions of angels to rescue him from the agony of his suffering, but he chose not to, out of love for sinners and in obedience to the will of God the Father. Philippians 2:7 says that the Lord Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. In the early church, there was a heretical teaching being spread that Jesus emptied himself of his deity when he became human. That is not right. When this verse says he emptied himself, he didn't empty himself of his divinity. He remained God. But he did not take on divine privileges. As a man, he learned obedience. He did not come out of the womb of Mary and born on that day being able to speak fluent Hebrew or whatever language else he had to speak. He learned things just like you and I have to learn things. That's what this verse teaches. He never stopped being God, but he embraced all the limitations of humanity. In fact, in the incarnation, we see God with a human face, a human body, a human soul, one who is fully God, fully man, yet without sin. In these verses, we have a very early statement from the pen of the Apostle Paul, inspired by God, clearly showing who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for us. And in doing so, he took the path road of utter humility and utter humiliation. So let's think about for a moment how Christ humbled himself. It really speaks in our passage of two states of humility and humiliation, noted most notably in his incarnation and his death. Christ willingly humbled himself in not only becoming human, but also by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. It's one thing to die. That's humility. That's a result of sin. But Christ not only died, he died in the worst possible way and method. His humiliation is most pronounced in his death. And so we see in the example of Christ the perfect willingness to endure something totally contrary to a worldly view of leadership. Leadership, as exemplified by the ancient Greeks and Romans, is still alive and prominent today. And it's all about gaining and maintaining power through deception, manipulation, and military might. Its focus is getting others to serve you through coercion and compulsion. The Lord Jesus shows us totally the opposite view of leadership in servant leadership. Beginning at his birth, as he was born in a manger. Wasn't born in a palace, not with trumpets and accolades. He was born in a manger. We would say born in a barn. During his public ministry, he had no place to lay his head to sleep. And in his death, he underwent the most gruesome form of capital punishment known to man. And even beyond that, he suffered the very wrath of God the Father upon him emotionally and spiritually as Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That aspect of spiritual and emotional deprivation far outweighed any physical suffering he went through. And yet he endured all of it for us in obedience to God the Father. And it's that type of leadership that we are told to imitate. And so the Christian life is not about our comfort. It's about bringing glory to God in no matter what station of life you're in. And so we are called to be servants of Christ. And just as the student is not above his master, if they showed this utter contempt for the Lord Jesus Christ, they will show the same contempt for us, his servants. But the story does not end in Christ's humiliation. So the second point of my sermon is living under the lordship of Christ means believing in and confessing Christ's identity as fully God and fully man. Philippians 2:9 says this, "For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name." God highly exalts Christ by acknowledging the Lord as his Son. At the baptism of Christ and on the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Jesus is eternally the divine Son of God who became man. While Jesus always was and is the Lord, what is emphasized here in Philippians is that all people will acknowledge the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ at the last day as Jehovah God. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And then Paul divides all people, all creatures, in heaven above, on the earth, under the earth. All the angels, all people living, and all who have passed this life will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, Jehovah God, to the glory of God the Father. Now God's people will gladly acknowledge Jesus as Lord, while the unrighteous will acknowledge Jesus as Lord as through gritted teeth and begrudgingly, in much the same way that the demons admitted Jesus was the Holy One during Christ's public ministry. Paul in Philippians 2:10 is acknowledging and quoting from Isaiah 45:23 and 24. And so I want to quote from Isaiah 45. which says, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back, that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who are angry at him will be put to shame. That's a quote. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jehovah is God. And so when Paul quotes Isaiah 45, he is making the very outstanding point that Jesus Christ is Yahweh. He is Jehovah God. He is the Lord Almighty. The message that Isaiah is addressing is this: God is the only God, and he has revealed his word through the prophets. While sinful humanity has an inherent craving to worship and serve someone, people constantly worship false gods, which are not the real God at all, but breathless idols of their own imagination. But God alone is able to save, vindicate, and deliver his people from their sin, as well as judge his enemies. By quoting this passage from Isaiah, Paul is clearly teaching that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is Jehovah God, the Lord God Almighty. And while Jesus is certainly the Son of God, a common title of the Lord in the New Testament, he is also God the Son, equal to God the Father. God the Father is glorified when his eternal Son and his deity is acknowledged and confessed. So it is fitting that we honor the Son in the same way that we honor the Father. We acknowledge Jesus as Lord by trusting in him as God and man, as the one who died on the cross for sinners and rose again. The name of Jesus in Philippians 2, 9 and 10, this name, especially in the Hebrew language, refers to a person's essence and destiny. God has bestowed on Jesus a name that is above every name. God the Father gave his incarnate Son a name fitting for his mission. For Jesus comes from the Hebrew Yeshua, or as we translate it in English, Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. While there were many people called Yeshua in the first century, it was only Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Mary, who is the Christ. Therefore, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus, son of Mary, the one from Nazareth, who proclaimed himself Messiah, he is Lord. He is the eternal Son and Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us and is able to save us. It is this one that Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Jehovah God, our Lord and Savior. And thus, Jesus' name is the divine name of the Christ, the Messiah, and is accorded the same dignity, worship, praise as God the Father. We also acknowledge Jesus as Lord by doing what he commands. So as servants of this Jesus, this Christ, this Lord, we work out and testify to our obedience to him as we follow his commandments, and as we grow in humility, in faith, hope, and love. Therefore, we have a lifetime calling to turn away from pride and to serve one another. To serve one another in the same way that Jesus did, washing people's feet, praying to God, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We need to ask God's help and grace as we work out what it means to be a servant of the Lord in our specific callings. We need God to reveal our hidden faults and the awfulness of our secret sins and all the evil within us that keeps us from serving God more fully. And so we need to pray to the Lord God that he would change and shape our characters, because all of us have hidden pride within us. And so we need to pray to the Lord for self-knowledge and for the grace of repentance. While it is our lifetime calling to be conformed to the image of Christ, the hope of the gospel is that Christ is with us to forgive us of our sins and to give us strength by His Spirit so that we would be strengthened toward this goal of becoming more and more Christ-like. So living under the Lordship of Christ means following in the path of service. And it also means confessing Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, give us strength to serve and grow in the grace and knowledge of your Son. Shape us by the power of your Spirit that we may humbly trust in you and acknowledge your Son as King over all. This we beg in your holy name. Amen.